Breaking news, the ACLJ files a major lawsuit in California challenging Gavin Newsom's ban on singing and chanting in church and places of worship. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We have breaking news, folks. This is huge. The ACLJ has filed a major lawsuit challenging a California ban. Remember that ban, July 1st, on singing and chanting in church? Well, we represent three churches in California. By the way, they are in counties that are not under that major ordinance that was announced later last week by Governor Newsom, which shut down basically almost 80% of the state. These churches still are in the counties that can operate. They can still operate as churches, but they have this mandate where it says they must cease singing and chanting. Three, along with the ACLJ, we represent them, have taken Governor Newsom, the California health director, two county health officials to federal court.
This is a major case. And look, we have been very cautious on engaging the issue, dealing with local authorities and how they're trying to control the pandemic issue. What was so outrageous about this particular case and why we felt like we had to take action. You already have a limitation in place, which we're not challenging here, in California that says no matter the size of your worship center or cathedral, you could have a 3,000 seat church or cathedral, and you can only have, it says, occupancy of 25% or 100 people, whichever is less. So no more than 100 people. So a 3,000 seat church, you can have 100 people. But guess what those 100 people can't do if they're 100 yards apart? They can't sing. And if you're in a liturgical church where there's chanting, synagogues, Catholic mosque. Churches, mosques, for that matter, Greek Orthodox, Roman Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, whatever it might
Eastern
be.
Religions,
Eastern
Hindu
religions,
Buddhist.
Hindu and Buddhism. No chanting. So it is a chanting ban, no matter what the size of the facility. Now, that is not narrowly tailored, which is what a restriction on free speech is. And by the way, worship, singing, offering praise is constitutionally protected speech. I've been litigating those cases at the Supreme Court for almost 40, well, no, not almost 40 years, but about 37 years. And we've been successful, including at the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, I say this because, again, we've been very cautious to go after these cases where we understand the nature of what people are dealing with, but there was this case, there was absolutely no choice. You had to do it.
That's right. I mean, this was, again, remember when we read through, and initially California had put together a recommendations, but not, they didn't use words that said must. They didn't use words that mean mandate. They didn't use legal terms. When you say must cease, that means that you have to stop or else. You know, that's not a recommendation to do something. That's not a you should do this or we believe it's in your best interest. But when you say you must stop chanting, you must stop singing, even in the churches that are allowed to operate at these lower capacities, that you must do that. California set itself up for this legal challenge. They could do the right thing and come back and say they used the wrong language. But if they are trying to fight this in court, they got real constitutional issues. First Amendment, 14th Amendment. We'll talk about that. We come back. You can get involved in this as well, folks, because you don't want this to be a nationwide precedent.
I need to say also our friend Bob Tyler, who's a fantastic lawyer in California, and his organization are also heavily involved in this case, and we're thrilled to work with him. He's going to be joining us in the segment coming up.
All right, folks, ACLJ.org. And remember, we're able to do this broadcast. We're able to file these lawsuits because of your support, your donations to the ACLJ. It's a matching challenge month. Whatever you donate, you double the impact of your donation. Donate today. Keep this work going. ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. Don't.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Just to remind you, if you're just joining us, we have filed a major lawsuit challenging the California ban put in place by Governor Newsom, the California Department of Health, on singing in church and chanting in places of worship. We represent three different churches in two counties. And by the way, if you're in California and you're thinking, wait, I thought all places of worship were shut down, that is not the case. In Butte County, in Montecito County, they have not faced that order yet that came after this order. So they're still allowed to have in-person indoor worship services, and yet they face this ban from singing or chanting because the language used on July 1st was you must cease singing and chanting. Not you should, not we suggest, but you must. You can read the brief. We've got it online at aclj.org as well as the blog. That's aclj.org. So you can see the legal arguments we are making.
We're doing this case with our very good friend, Bob Tyler. Bob is the chairman of Advocates for Faith and Freedom, a great organization, and we'll get more information to you about that. We want you to support that organization as well. He's joining us on the phone. Bob, you have done a fantastic job in hostile jurisdiction there in California for a long time. Tell us about this one. We're thrilled to be working with you again. We've been working together a long time. Give me the atmosphere out in California as it relates to churches right now.
Oh, boy. Jay, I just got off the phone with a pastor in Pasadena, California, who is sharing how, in his words, he used the exact word hostile territory here. And it is very difficult for churches in California because, you know, the people who are running this state, the governor and those who he's appointed, as well as the Democrats who have a supermajority in the legislature, frankly, they are just simply hostile toward Christianity. I think to a large degree, it's simply because they don't understand what does it mean? Why is church, faith relevant? They just don't get it. And so it's a difficult place. And, you know, Jay, about 20 years was the first time I jumped in on a case working with you guys at ACLJ, and it's been a pleasure to work with you.
Well, listen, two decades of working together, and that's why I said these are relationships that go by back a long time. I was telling one of our associates, who is probably not that much older than two decades ago, that, you know, your team and our team have been working together for a long time. One of the things that we're concerned about, Jordan, here, and I want to get Bob's comment on this too, is this real focused attack on singing. Now, you could wear a mask and sing. You could stand in most of these churches 200 feet apart.
That's right. That's right. I mean, there's so few people even allowed to attend the service, which is another issue in itself. But you can do this with social distancing. You can, again, the idea that if you're going to allow people to assemble at all inside, remember, coughing, sneezing, all of that, that's what they kind of compare singing to. I mean, that can happen at any moment, at any time, and you know, a lot of people are asymptomatic anyway. So this idea, though, we have to remember that religious liberty is specifically protected in the United States. Liquor stores aren't. You know, big box stores aren't. But religious liberty is specifically protected. So you've got both the free exercise clause, you have the establishment clause violation here, and you have the 14th Amendment equal protection. So you've got the civil rights issue as well that you can't target. By the way, the other businesses that are allowed to operate in these counties right now, they don't have a ban on singing or chanting. Just places of worship.
Well, that's not the only place that doesn't have a ban on singing and chanting. So, Bob, you've had a lot of protests out in Southern California. And is there a ban in singing and chanting there?
Oh, there's not. And let me give you a quote that we have in our complaint. We wrote on June 1, 2020, Governor Newsom tweeted this. Listen to this. For those of you out there protesting, I want you to know that you matter. To those who want to express themselves, God bless you. Keep doing it. Your rage is real. This comes from our governor of the state of California, who, while he's encouraging protesters, he's telling people in church how they can worship and how not to worship and what's not allowed. What a crazy world that we live in. Jay, I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever seen such a violation and infringement upon religious liberties as this.
No, I'll tell you what. So the irony of this is, and you know this, Bob, because you, like I said, you've known me for 2 decades, but I've been doing this for 4 decades. And I have defended those protesters in streets who are chanting and holding signs. And I say, and I will say again, that they have, as long as it's not violent, they have the perfect right to do it. It's free speech. It's protected by the Constitution. And if there was a ban that said you can meet on the streets, but you can't say anything or can't, you know, chant, I would say that's unconstitutional. I'd go to court to defend them if they needed it, because I believe in free speech. Now, here's the problem. They have taken a very different, it's like there's two sets of rules. There's free speech if it's a popular protest movement. There's no free speech or free exercise of religion or freedom of assembly if it's a church or a religious institution. And this, by the way, impacts synagogues, churches of all different denominations, other religious groups as well. But, Bob, it seems to me there are two different sets of rules here.
Boy, there sure are. And, you know, we went to great efforts to search social media, orders, statements in the media by the governor, by the county officials, because what we want to show is we want to be able to display the fact that there is this double standard. And we're doing so, and if you go to the complaint, you'll see exactly what we're talking about for those listeners. Jay, we've been able to show a very clear, distinct treatment that is being given to churches, uniquely telling them, just basically censoring them and telling them you cannot worship in a way that in the manner that God dictates for you, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things here, Jordan, is the irony. I show that, you know, if you have protests going on the street, which, by the way, are protected, as I said, if you have chanting going on the streets, protected, as long as these are nonviolent. Some of them are wearing masks, some of them are not wearing masks, but still protected speech. No one's questioning that. But there's a different set of standards when it's a church. Now, we're going to talk about the importance of worship, including churches, and what the importance of that is as a religious experience and constitutional protection. In our next segment, we're going to be joined by Andy Economo, our senior counsel. But, Jordan, it is very clear, and I think Bob's done a really good job of pointing this out, there are really two different standards at play here.
Yes, there's a standard for those who are religious, those who practice their sincerely held religious belief, and by the way, have these specific constitutional protections to do that, and protesters and other businesses that aren't being treated the same way. So when you start targeting, that's when the government is in the most dangerous legal zone constitutionally, and we've done, and Bob's done these cases for years too, when they start targeting religion, when that's the only focus, when they don't say, hey, we're not going to have singing or chanting anywhere, we're going to just do it for places of worship. That is when, again, you've got a focused in attack, and it's discriminatory, and again, you cannot do that. You can't focus in on just those who are religious. And yet, Dad, and Bob knows this too, the reason why our organizations exist is time and time again, governments, especially those left-leaning governments, feel like they can do this, that they can treat religious people differently, and that somehow their beliefs, like the importance that we talk about in our brief, of singing to Christians in their faith, that those beliefs don't matter. But, you know, the protesters, they do.
Yeah, well, I think we've done a really good job, and Bob's team and our team together have done a really good job of laying this out. Bob, we've only got 2 minutes left. I want you to tell people about Advocates of Faith and Freedom, who we have worked with and worked together with for 20 years. Tell us about the organization.
Hey, thanks. We're a small organization focused in California to a large degree. We do have some cases outside, but really, California is a hotspot. You know, it's been said what happens here gets exported to the rest of the country, and I've seen that for the last 20-plus years in my work here. And we take on religious liberty cases similar to what you guys do. And, you know, hey, honored to be able to go back and just look on the long history of many cases we've worked on with ACLJ. Going all the way back, you might remember, Jay, that case where a nurse in Riverside County was fired because she wouldn't give abortions.
Yeah, went to trial. Great job with you and Frank Mannion on that. Hey, very quickly, give your web address if you can, Bob, for Advocates.
Sure. It is faith-freedom.com. That's faith-freedom.com.
Listen, Bob's group does great work. We've worked with them for 20 years. I encourage you, as you support religious freedom, religious liberty, check out Advocates for Faith and Freedom and support their ongoing work, too. We appreciate it, Bob. Thank you very much.
All right, folks, ACLJ.org. You should read the brief. The blog is up. You should share it with your friends and family. You can ask us questions. We're live on the air. Facebook, Periscope, share this with your friends and family. Click that share button. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we can do this work because of your financial support of the ACLJ. Donate today at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge the month of July. Whatever you donate is doubled because we have a donor ready to match every donation that comes in. But you've got to take that initial action online. Donate today, ACLJ.org. Stand up for religious liberty.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to walk through, Dad. I think it's important for people, and we'll start taking some phone calls.
We've got Andy on, too.
As well. Just what we are asking the court to do here. There's a temporary restraining order.
Yes.
An injunction. And also to make sure that as churches in other parts of the state begin to be able to reopen, that this is not enforced by any state agencies, whether it's right. the police or the health county of health officials. And when we filed the lawsuit specifically against Governor Newsom, the California State Health Director, and the two county health directors.
Yeah, so as the regulations change, as things may open up in some areas, we want to make sure these kind of restrictions are not put in place. But the heart of the complaint is that this is a fundamental violation of free speech, that this is a violation of religious liberty. And Andy, we've talked about the impact that this has on a variety of denominations. Of course, Judaism has chanting from a cantor in the services. In the Orthodox tradition, there is chanting and choirs. In the Protestant evangelical tradition, you often have praise teams or choirs. And it's part of the worship experience. And of course, it's protected by the First Amendment as free speech, but that is what they have focused on here.
That's right, Jay. In the church, and especially, may I say, in my church, in the Orthodox Church, we believe in chanting the entire liturgy and all the services. The priest chants the intonations to God, to Christ, to the Holy Spirit, and the chanter responds or the choir responds. And these are something that we have learned through the history of time. This comes from Exodus, beginning when Moses said to the Israelites, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted." And then we find all the Psalms, which in Greek, psalmus, means psalat, that means chant. "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to God. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. Sing to him in praise. Sing of your name, O Most High." And as Isaiah said in the Old Testament, "And you will sing as on the night you celebrate a holy festival." We picked that up from the Judaic tradition, Jay. As you pointed out yesterday, there is not a blank page between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Paul picks this up in Colossians when he says that we will sing through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And when he and Silas were in prison, Jay and Jordan, the prisoners heard them singing and praying to God, and the other prisoners, it says, were listening to them. So these are fundamental to the church and the tradition of all Christian denominations founded on the Old and the New Testament, speaking, as Ephesians says, to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And as James says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them sing songs of praise." So that's where we get our basic understanding of why we sing these songs. We get it from the Bible, from the Old and the New Testament, and that is a right that the Constitution protects to us and provides to us and should never, ever be taken away.
And I think it's important to point out that we're not challenging the restriction, although I think it's unconstitutional, that limits the number of worshipers to the maximum of 100 is the max, even if you're a cathedral or church or synagogue held 4,000 people. We haven't challenged the number restriction. It's the restriction on worship itself, Jordan, that is a fundamental challenge here. And as Andy just really laid out very well, you talk from a scriptural standpoint, this is a fundamental part of worship. So for the state to come in and say, "No, you can't do that aspect of worship. You can't do this aspect of worship. You can't do the sacraments. You can't do this." Hey, that's not the role of the government in this context. Restrictions, reasonable time, place, and manner is one thing. Content-based, which this is, because no one's telling the people on the streets protesting, hey, they're not wearing a mask, you think they're getting arrested? Okay, so that's number one. Number two, they're chanting, they're singing, they're making statements, all of which I believe are protected speech, but this is a specific attack on people of faith and religious institutions.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that is what is so outrageous here. And we've got these three churches who are willing, and you know, this is always so important. You know, as attorneys, we could fight these battles, but you've got to have clients who are ready to fight and to take on the fight. That's who you're representing. And they stepped up, these three churches, and they said, we want to challenge the state of California. We want to challenge Governor Newsom's order. We want to be able to legally sing and practice our faith the way our faith tells us to. We want to be able to have our worship service. And we're trying to comply with the laws that have been put and the rules that have been put in place, but that this goes too far. This goes over the line because you're just targeting us. You're just targeting religious people. So I think for Calvary Chapel of Ukiah, Calvary Chapel Fort Bragg, as well as we've got in Montecito County, and as well as River of Life Church, we have to thank them as well. You should all thank them because they said, we will fight back. We will take the stand. We will allow you as ACLJ and as Bob Tyler to go into court and fight for our rights.
Yeah, no, it's very, listen, the fact that the churches are willing to do it is a big stand because look, these are stressful times for anyone. But Andy, I thought about the dichotomy of the two situations where we have protected free speech in the streets for, I mean, decade after decade after decade, which included chanting, by the way. And it's constitutionally protected speech. Supreme Court said religious faith, practice and worship is protected by the Constitution. Numerous Supreme Court cases on that. And here we didn't challenge the number restriction. So you literally could have a cathedral, like in your church in Atlanta, at the Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Atlanta. How many does that seat, do you think, roughly?
Hundreds and hundreds of people. We can seat 500-600 people in that cathedral.
Okay, so let's say 600. Under California, you could have 100 people there max. Okay, so that means basically what? 12% of the sanctuary is filled. Now, okay, that's the health reason. And now they're saying on top of that, you cannot chant. If you could not chant in the Greek Orthodox Church, is there a liturgical, is that service basically ended at that point?
It is, Jay, because that is the heart of Orthodoxy, is chanting, psalmus, songs. And let me give you an illustration. In 988, Prince Vladimir decided to convert the Russians to Christianity, okay? He sent a delegation to Rome, and he sent a delegation to Constantinople to see which form of Christianity he was going to adopt for his people. And they went to Rome, and they heard the Roman Mass, and they came to Constantinople to where? Hagia Sophia, the church that is being threatened by Erdogan today to be made into a mosque. And they heard the chanting and the singing. That's what impressed the delegation.
Yep.
And they went back, Jay, and he said, what did you think of them? And you know what the delegation said? We knew not whether we were in heaven or on earth.
All right, we're going to have a lot more on this. I want you to tell that story again when we're not pressing a break like this. All right, Jordan, let everybody know to support the ACLJ. We are in court now. By the way, the hearing, which will be telephonic, I'm sure, could be any hour, literally.
That's right. And this could be a quick one because the way California could respond. But, you know, we're dealing with California here. It's a very liberal state. You've all seen how Gavin Newsom has been responding, as well as county officials there. You need to support the work of the ACLJ. It's why we can take this kind of legal action even during a pandemic and have all the resources because of you. Donate online right now at ACLJ.org during our matching challenge month of July. That's ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. And folks, let me just reiterate in our second half hour the importance of your support for the ACLJ, the reason why we were able to file this lawsuit in California representing three churches against this ban on church religious places of worship having singing or chanting. It is unconstitutional, but during a time of pandemic, you know, we're able to operate the ACLJ at full capacity with all of our attorneys and government affairs teams all across the country, all across the world, as we were talking about Hagia Sophia and will later in the week as well. But we can only do that, and we can only bring you this broadcast every day because of your financial support of the American Center for Law and Justice. Now, I know there are folks going through very tough economic times right now. If you are, do not donate. But if you are someone who is in a good financial situation and can make a donation right now, this is a great time to do it because July is a matching challenge month for the ACLJ. What does that mean? It means that whatever you donate, we have a group of donors that say whatever comes into the ACLJ this month in donations, we will match that. Now, they don't send their donation in unless you make that initial donation. But we're talking about how $5 charged on your credit card at ACLJ.org, that is effectively like $10 for the ACLJ. $10 is like $20. $50 is like $100. And it goes on up from there. So if you're in a position to support this work and to keep this broadcast, support the broadcast, donate. The month of July is a great time to donate if you're financially able to do so because of the matching challenge. Do it online at aclj.org. It just takes about a minute or a minute and a half. It's safe, it's secure, and it's why we can be in federal court. It's why we can engage all of our international offices, whether they're in Russia, whether they are in France, and all around the world, and have attorneys all across the country because of your financial support.
Than is in as well. I want to go to Than for a moment here. We're going to get to calls in a second, but I wanted to give a little bit of an update on the situation with Hagia Sophia. I've sent around a series of articles that we got yesterday, last night, even late into the evening, and the international outcry, Than, on this. This, again, if you're not familiar, this is a church in Constantinople, Istanbul now, was what the Turks call it, and it is one of the oldest, really the oldest church in what was then Asia Minor. And beautiful cathedral. Jordan has been there, and of course Andy's been there, and it is now being converted literally into a mosque. The first worship service as a mosque are going to come out of there in just about a week. And the international pressure, though, that is coming on Turkey has been immense in the last 24 to 48 hours, Than.
Yeah, it's been immense, Jane. It's come from really all different ideologies, all different faiths, all different backgrounds, all different government structures. And quite frankly, just a couple of days ago, Jay, we had a discussion that was going to have to be the foundation that would be laid if there was going to be an opportunity for recourse here. And we have really started to see that, Jay. I mean, Secretary Pompeo, on behalf of the United States, was really the first one out of the gates criticizing this move and then looking toward the discord that it would sow in the region. But, Jay, we have seen it from numerous different countries. We've seen a strong statement out of the United Nations. We've seen statements from Islamic organizations in the United States and also around the globe. So I think that first stage of the response to this move by President Erdogan, Jay, has been a resounding success. Now, the next step is going to be going to some of these forums, like when the World Heritage Sites are reviewed at the committee. We're going to have to show up there and we're going to have to turn those statements into action. But Jay, I would say stage one accomplished.
I want to tell you this. We have a petition up on this thing, on this issue with the church, Hagia Sophia, on ACLJ.org, and there's almost 60,000 people, I think, have signed it. Over 60,000, Will just told me. So I'd like to get that up to 100,000 in the next week or so, because we're going to start notifying the international tribunals. We already are, but when you start talking numbers of hundreds of thousands, it makes a huge difference. So whether it is the church in California being restricted from singing, or a church in Turkey being converted to a mosque, a historic church, I might add, the American Center for Law and Justice, the European Center for Law and Justice, the Slavic Center for Law and Justice, all there. Support the ACLJ, aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I appreciate people hanging on the line so we can get all this information out. Let's go right to the phone. Sandra calling in from California. Sandra, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi, it's so good to talk to you. I just want to thank you for putting those lawsuits through. The churches in California, we just want to help people, and people miss their churches. And it's bad enough that we've limited the amount of people that can go to church. Now, if you're in a county that's on the watch list, which my county just got on the watch list now we can't have church again. And then to say that we can't open our services with worship, I'm sorry, but the Bible is very clear that that's part of how we're supposed to praise the Lord. And it's hypocrisy that we can do this protesting in the street shoulder to shoulder, but we can't sing and worship in church.
You're 100% correct. And legally, you're 100% correct. Factually, you're 100% correct. And Andy, I think the story you gave right at the end, we were really rushed, on the impact that prayers, singing, praising, chanting of liturgy has an impact on people. And tell that story again, because we didn't give it justice. We only had a minute and a half in that last segment.
I will, Jay. In the year 988, Prince Vladimir of Russia decided to convert his pagan people, the Russians, to Christianity. He chose that religion. And he wanted to know what form of Christianity should this take. And he sent a delegation to Rome, and they heard the papal mass, and they heard the singing, and that was splendid. Then they went to Constantinople, to the Church of Hagia Sophia, the Cathedral Church of Eastern Orthodoxy, the church that is being threatened today to become a mosque. But they went to that church in 988, and they saw the priests and the vestments and the incense and the mitres and the scepters and the incredibly exquisite icons. But most of all, they heard the singing and the chanting from the bishops and the priests and the deacons and the chanters. And they went back to Prince Vladimir, and he said, "What do you think?" And he said, "We went to Rome, and it was wonderful. But we went to Constantinople and we heard the chanting and singing of the Eastern Orthodox Church, and we knew not whether we were in heaven or on earth." And Prince Vladimir said, "That is the Christianity that I will take for my people, the Rus." And today the Russian Orthodox Church, from 988, 100 million people, I think, in Russia who are Russian Orthodox, take that root from what? The singing, the chanting, the hymns, the incense, and the traditions of the Bible, both Old and New Testament, that were preserved in Constantinople by the Orthodox Church. That is the importance of chanting and singing praises and hymns to God. That is what 1 Corinthians says when it says, I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding.
So let me even make this, now let me take it from 980 to today, because people are very intuitive, they're very industrious. We look at a situation we're in the country and we say it's difficult, but people are thinking. So I just got sent to me a resonance singer's mask. It is compliant with all of the safety requirements. And I'm not doing ads for masks. I'm just saying they've even developed masks for those people that sing. That they can stay safe. They can will not spread germs. It'll be compliant with the CDC guidelines. They even have masks. You know, I think about this, Stan, and the overreach in Washington. We're also seeing in California. But this one in California really, really bothers me.
Went over the line, Jay. I mean, I go back to the caller that we just had. I think her name was Sandra. She said, we just want to help people. And Jay, you've been on the air repeatedly during the course of this, encouraging churches to work with government officials to, err on the side of caution. Just sort of the Jeremiah 29 verse where it talks about working for the welfare of the city. But Jay, this has gone over the line. I mean, when the government goes over the line and is no longer trying to help the community, but is coming down with the heavy arm of government on religious people, it has to be pushed back against. And I will tell you this, in the very beginning, we wanted to make sure that the guidance coming out of Washington, D.C. was proper so that there wasn't abuse on the local level. Jay, that's what we got when the president declared places of worship to be essential services. So as someone like Governor Newsom has to deal with this balance of whether or not essential services can open and how they can open, churches would be included in those restrictions and they would be treated as essential. Jay, this does not treat churches as essential. It discriminates against them. This is what makes it different than erring on the side of caution. It's discriminatory, and thank goodness these clients are willing to stand up for us. Jay, otherwise, I mean, I don't want to sound too extreme here, but you have to address these problems when they're at the root. Otherwise, decades down the road, you end up like what we're seeing in Turkey.
You know, I think about this. I'm going to Jordan and Andy on this, but at least we have churches willing to stand up here and fight.
Yes.
Not easy to do that, by the way.
No, I mean, people think that, you know, you could just file these lawsuits. We talk about it all the time. You know, after the radio broadcast, we're talking about this schools issue and what can parents do and the issues with these school boards that are shutting down and then not, you know, giving parents no option. And what are they supposed to do if they've got to work and they don't, you know, school's already been canceled in some places up for a month or it's all going to be online and they don't have the resources online. They don't have people to take care of their kids. We're having that meeting with our team of attorneys right after we're on the air right now. You've got to have the resources to get out of the minds to work on these cases, but you also have to have the clients willing to fight. And here we have, you know, again, Calvary Chapel of Ukiah, Calvary Chapel Fort Bragg, and River of Life Church as well. Those are in Montecito and Butte County, California. And again, a thank you to them, because they are willing to fight the fight.
Yeah, you know, Andy, I was thinking of some of the cases we've handled over the years, the speech cases, the protest cases, and it's really clear to me that the violation here of the constitutional rights of the church could not be clearer, and the dichotomy of what's going on in the streets, which, if it's nonviolent, is protected, including chanting, and it's like they're praising that and condemning the churches.
That's the irony here, Jay.
Which, by the way, shows hostility to religion, which violates the Establishment Clause as well as the Free Speech Clause.
It does show hostility to religion. The mobs are allowed to chant and to sing. I don't have any problem with peaceful protests. Never have. I've represented people with you who have peacefully protested the abortion clinics through the years or in our early days in Atlanta. But this is an attack on the church. You can go out on the streets and you can chant and you can sing, but you can't go into a house of worship and sing unto the Lord and praise the Lord And that is the heart, for example, in my church of the Orthodox liturgy, is chanting and singing hymns to the Lord and the intonation of the Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom from the 4th century. We haven't just started this, Jay. This is not something new in Orthodoxy where we chant and we intone. This is something that comes from the very basis of the foundation of the church by the Emperor Constantine in 325 and by the liturgies of St. Basil the Great, St. John Chrysostom, and St. James of Jerusalem, all of which are intoned and chanted. Why should those be prohibited, even with safety masks on, while the mob in the street can go unbridled? That's not right. That's a violation of the Constitution, and that's what we're fighting for at the ACLJ.
Exactly right, and that's why we're going to continue to fight back. You want to go ahead and is it too late to take a call? You want to hold a call?
I think what we could do is we're going to take all the calls we come segment. Back. So hang on, everybody. I know Jerry's on, Julie, Scott, Carolyn, Stephen. Hang on, because we're going to take your calls right when we come back. We're going to do it in our final segment. I want to encourage you right now because of all this, the work that is going on. And if you check out ACLJ.org, and by the way, you know, through our social media, we're expanding that as well. Whether it's the work on Hagia Sophia, whether it is now this lawsuit that has been filed just yesterday at evening, and we let you know on social media, we're of course breaking it on radio today. We've got 60,000 on the petition to stop Turkey from turning turning Hagia Sophia into a mosque. We're seeing the world push back on Turkey's decision to do that. We have over 200,000 of you again on these petitions as well. When it comes to the singing ban, over 200,000 of you already were engaged in the issue. Now we're able to take that into court. We need you to stand with us at the American Center for Law and Justice. It is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ if you were financially able to. You know, we're doing a lot of work, and we are, again, fighting through it during this pandemic and during these states, now some of these states that are trying to target religious people and Christians. So if you can, support the work of the ACLJ this month at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge. I mean, Dad, this is a great time for people to donate because if they donate $15, $20, that $15 is like $30, but they're only charged $15. That $20 is like $40. Those are important donations to the ACLJ.
Yeah, I want to say this also. We've had a great response so far this month, so I really want to thank you for your support. Continue to do that if you're able. We know that some of you are not, and we understand that completely. We appreciate your prayers in any case. But your support of the ACLJ makes all this possible, including this broadcast. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, folks, we are going to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to go in order. People that have been holding on, let me go to Jerry in Rhode Island online, too. Jerry, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hello, team. The question would have been to Bob the attorney, what is the practical effect right now in California? But I think Jordan might have said they're not sending the choir police yet. Are these churches open? And are they allowed to sing and chant now? Or are you just, or is the suit commentating during the public hearing stage of these enactments?
Churches have been shut down by police in California that have been operating. That's been in the news in California. So churches have actually barred entry into some churches. Now, on the singing issue, this is pretty new. I mean, this came out, July 1st. Then there was the expanded order July 10th that affected most of the state indoors operating anything at all. Even protesting outside was banned. But in these counties, that's not the case. That order wasn't in effect there, yet the singing ban is. So the church is still allowed to gather at smaller numbers inside the church, but they have a mandate that says they must cease singing or chanting. And that's for all places of worship. And by the way, only places of worship. But the thing is, Jerry, yeah, in California, we've seen enforcement of this. We have seen police shut churches down. It is no joke.
No. So, and then until we get the injunction, we're not encouraging these churches to do anything. We don't want them violating the rules and regulations until we get either a TRO or an injunction. Let's take the next call.
Let's go to Julie calling from California online for Julie. Thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I'm on a worship team. We have never, within compliance, stopped worshiping and live streaming. I don't sing. I'm a bass player, but I'm a senior, and I realize that when I go to play, if I were going to go to play tonight, which is what we're planning to do as usual, there could be consequences. And I briefed my roommate and told him how to take care of my dog if I were in jail or something. And not that I'd like to do that, but, you know, our pastor talked about the scripture, which says, you know, all the scriptures. He started through 9 pages of them, didn't finish, but about God saying, sing.
Yeah, well, it's not just that, too. It's Acts 4:29. Enable now, Lord, hear their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with boldness. And Andy, the singing of hymns is speaking of the word of God.
It is, of course, as Ephesians teaches us, speak to one another. It says at chapter 5, verse 19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. That's fundamental. That's Pauline scripture to the letter that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, which I visited and saw the church and the remains of the church of Ephesus. That is what inspires us. That is what brings us closer to the Lord, is the singing and the chanting. That can never stop and must never be prohibited.
So I was going to go to Than on this because I'm trying to, that's California. I want to get a regional kind of understanding. So, I mean, a lot of areas, churches are still closed or pastors are making the decision not to, and I support that too, by the way. I support the church making those decisions. What's the situation up in Maryland, Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. right now?
Yeah, we're probably behind the curve as far as the, most of the rest of the country goes. Jay, some of the cases are a little bit higher. In Washington, D.C., the restriction is 25% capacity for a large gathering. It is applied equally across the religious divide. So whether you're a church or you're a civic organization, the mass gathering criteria is the same. So that makes it quite a bit different than California, especially on this singing ban where they singled out places of worship. So, Jay, I think we're probably similar to other places in the country, but probably, I don't know, if I'm going to put a number on it, maybe a month behind average because the cases have been a little bit higher.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's take another call, Jordan.
Yeah, Scott in South Carolina, Live 5. Scott, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for the good job. Sure. On the issue of the quantity,
yes.
My question is, in South Carolina, it used to be a percentage, and then our governor lifted that, and now the local ordinances are becoming requiring masks. But churches are open. With this, did the governor or whoever made this 100-person rule, does that apply to the big box stores also?
No,
or are they
not.
Going, so they're going by percentage, I'm assuming.
They're straight percentages there of capacity. They don't have a maximum of 100 because they are actually doing it appropriately. They're saying the size of your store, you have a capacity limitation, as every business does. You see that maximum occupancy, you know, 800. And you could do whatever the percentage they decide in particular areas of California, maybe 25%, maybe 50%, whatever it is. They made that decision. Here, though, on the church, they put the specific limitation of 100 regardless of the size of the worship center or the cathedral. So, I mean, Andy, that is unconstitutional too, but we decided to focus in on the prohibition on singing because they've already taken the numbers up to the Supreme Court and it did not end well.
No, that's true, Jay. The focus should be and is what we're doing in our suit that we filed in the Northern District of California, and that is the singing and chanting. Why? Because that is at the heart of how we express ourselves in the Christian faith, whether it be the Eastern Christian faith or the Western Christian faith. Ipsothite to Kyrio en psalmo, raise the Lord in psalms and singing in Greek. And that's what we do in our church and our liturgical services. That can never be taken away from us, never, and must never be taken away from us by the secular state, ever.
Let's go to Carolyn in Texas. She's got, I think it's a great story. Carolyn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Okay, so I hope I don't get too nervous to get this out. I've been in the situation that these churches are in where if they like what you have to say, you get to say it, and if they don't, you're muzzled. I came to Christ through a high school Bible study
yep.
that was basically given an ultimatum of knock it off or be kicked out of high school.
Right.
We got help from Case.
Yep. That was pre-ACLJ, which is now all the same, but yes, that's great.
That situation is the reason I'm a donor now, is this group needed to be here to help other people. These churches could not fight this on their own. There's no way they wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, as you experience firsthand, that is why we've existed since the 1980s. And it looks like we helped you in the 1990s. And we continue to do that every single day. I mean, that's the mission of the American Center for Law and Justice and Christian Advocates Serving Evangelism, all of our organizations that all work together. And, of course, Bob Tyler's great group, Advocates for Faith and Freedom, out in California. But that's the reason we're – first of all, Carolyn, thanks for calling in, because you don't ever want to forget your beginnings. And those beginnings in the early days, those cases, who would have ever thought a 16-year-old kid from Nebraska named Bridget Mergens would take a case that would end up in the Supreme Court of the United States, that we would end up winning it 8-1 in the early 1990s. There's always 1990, actually. And from that came literally thousands and thousands and thousands of Bible clubs and prayer groups meeting on campus. And now they're trying to say, well, you could pray silently, of course, because if you're going to do it out loud or chant it or sing it, it's a violation of law in California, and now the ACLJ handling that. Jordan?
I mean, this is what California said. Places of worship must, therefore, discontinue indoor singing and chanting activities, even when they are allowed to have indoor attendance. Not anywhere else, just places of worship. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. By the way, I'm on Parler now as well, so we're expanding our social media. If you're on there too, check that out. But donate today, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.